British Prime Minister Theresa May has announced that there will be no more free movement from the EU and Britain from March 2019. European correspondent from Deutsche Welle, Ineke Mühls, joined Breakfast producer Tom Mann for more. He began by asking her how the announcement came about.
Well, this actually happened on Monday, and it was through her official spokesperson. So, yes, like you said, British Prime Minister Theresa May has confirmed through her spokesperson that freedom of movement to EU citizens to Britain will officially end in March 2019 after the UK leaves the EU. It's interesting partly because, well, we haven't actually heard too much from the Brexit camp over the last few weeks as negotiations continue in Brussels. There's a lot of closed-door meetings going on, and I imagine a lot of things are still being sorted out. So this is the first thing we've heard from the Brexit camp in quite a while. The reason why it's so interesting is not just because immigration is such a huge issue in this entire saga, but because this particular statement actually contradicts those which have been made by a number of senior cabinet ministers within Theresa May's government, who had only recently, some as recently as Friday, had expressed their support or their belief that EU citizens would be able to continue coming to the UK during the so-called transition period, which had been offered from the EU. So this transition period would last around 3 years from March 2019, when Britain officially leaves the EU. That would mean that they would lose their voting rights, for example, but they would still need to, for example, pay the fees to the EU, and they would be governed under Brussels law still. And that wasn't overly popular with some members of cabinet, absolutely, but some major MPs, including Chancellor Philip Hammond and even Home Secretary Amber Rudd, expressed their belief that free movement would be able to continue for at least a little bit longer. So the fact that Theresa May's spokesperson has come out and said this, probably the timing has to do with the fact that so many cabinet ministers are expressing this view, and it's more or less trying to shut down this argument sooner rather than later. So the spokesperson also added that other elements of this post-Brexit immigration system will be brought forward in due course, so which means we're probably going to find out a little bit more about this, what the immigration system might look like quite soon. Some people are saying that plans for a registration system for migrants arriving after March 2019 have already been set out and may be announced soon. But of course, the current EU law maintains that EU citizens are able to live and work freely in any country, in any state. And that's partly what a lot of people were quite upset about when Brexit did occur. A lot of people do come and go from the UK freely. So it will be very interesting to see what this immigration system looks like post-Brexit. But it's also interesting to watch, this new cabinet that has been put together following a bit of a shambles of an election a couple of months ago, are continuing to put out contradictory statements on an issue which is incredibly important to a lot of people. So that's really what this is probably getting a bit more attention for, not necessarily the fact that freedom of movement will be restricted. That was expected, whether that was going to occur in March 2019 or later, but the fact that that was going to change was expected. But what was unexpected was the fact that all these cabinet ministers can't seem to put forward a common point on the issue.
So how is this announcement being viewed? Is this being seen as something to begin to nail down details of Brexit, or is this an assertion of Prime Minister May's leadership on the issue?
Well, like I said, people aren't necessarily surprised that she would come out and say this. It's more of a confirmation of what some people were thinking would happen eventually. People are more surprised at the fact that, people like the Home Secretary, who has a lot of power in the cabinet, was only last week saying that she expected freedom of movement to continue. And that probably got a lot of people's hopes up. So Theresa May is asserting her power in a sense that she's just putting a stop to these comments, which aren't necessarily true. Who knows how long these talks have been going on behind closed doors. I think the government is being incredibly careful about what information they released and when, because a lot of speculation is associated with Brexit. Of course, it always has been. And we've got 2 more years of this. So if every single detail of every discussion leaks out, and it's going to be incredibly difficult for the politicians as well as the public to decipher what exactly is going on. So it's more likely that Theresa May's spokesperson has come out and said this because so many cabinet ministers are saying the opposite, and that could have gone on for some time. Like I said, they're still putting together this brand new immigration plan, and once that's been finalised, it would be very interesting to see what it looks like, and also the fact that it affects so many people's lives in Europe. What it looks like is going to be incredibly important to a lot of people. It's actually very interesting, though, the timing of this, too. Last week, the UK ordered a major study into the pros and cons of EU migration to the UK. So this is expected to be completed by September next year, and that's only 6 months before Europe is actually set to leave the EU. So a lot of questions are being raised as to why this study wasn't actually carried out earlier, you know, immediately after Brexit occurred, given migration is such a key issue in this entire saga. The study is supposed to portray a so-called accurate picture of the extent to which the UK economy uses labour. And it also, it says it aims to ensure that they continue to attract those who benefit the UK economically, socially and culturally, which is a very interesting statement coming from the Brexit government, or people who are currently undertaking Brexit, given the fact that the vote occurred partly due to people's fear of migration and also partly, you know, the notion of wanting to control migration flows a little bit more. In the meantime, they're doing this study to see just how much migration actually influences the UK in a positive way. So, of course, we won't know the outcome, like I said, until September 2018. But, yeah, it's interesting to see what's going on there. I mean, migration has played a big role in the UK for a very long time and will continue to, absolutely, regardless of which laws come in. But it's more of a pivot to a so-called soft Brexit and trying to avoid a hard Brexit at this stage, I think.
I'm speaking to our Europe correspondent from Deutsche Welle, Inka Mules. Now, moving away from the UK, but staying on the issue of immigration, an anti-migrant boat crew has been arrested on Turkish waters in northern Cyprus for alleged people smuggling. What do we know about this?
Yeah, it's a bit of a Schadenfreude story, I suppose you could call it. So, yes, this group called Defend Europe and their boat called Sea Star, they were arrested on Wednesday last week in northern Cyprus for allegedly smuggling 21 Sri Lankan refugees on board. Now, this is interesting because this Defend Europe group is actually, they call themselves a vigilante sea mission, and they have come from a group called Generation Identity, which is basically a movement of young people from across Europe who are opposed to Islam and immigration and all those kinds of things. So their Sea Star ship, which they actually managed to get funds for, by crowdfunding online. So their ship actively tries to disrupt migrant rescues in the Mediterranean, and they've copped a lot of criticism for that, understandably. They say that their aim is to expose the so-called criminal activity by NGO search and rescue issue vessels. So they're basically accusing NGOs of working with people smugglers to transport migrants to Europe, which NGOs have come out very strongly against, of course. And they do, one of the things that they do is they plan to disrupt rescue attempts. A lot of boats leave from the Libyan coast. So when they do see a boat full of refugees rescued by NGOs, or just before they are rescued by NGOs, they contact the Libyan Coast Guard and ask them to take the refugees back to Libya, which of course is not a safe place at all at the moment. It's part of the reason so many people are leaving in the first place. But you know, their mission, I wouldn't necessarily call it a successful one. They've been refused docking rights in Egypt, of all places, and they've also been attempted to be blocked in Sicily, and wherever they go, there's protests are occurring, and of course people are asking their mayors and their governors to prevent them from docking. So they are certainly not well supported in that sense, and They are very, very controversial, but yes, the fact that they were stopped for smuggling Sri Lankans, it was surprising, to say the least. So basically, they were claiming that these 21 Sri Lankans were sailors and they were there for training purposes. And then the crew of this Defend Europe vessel was then accused of preparing and circulating false documents. But they were arrested and held for a while, but they were later released due to a lack of evidence. And then the story gets even more complicated because the refugees, they initially went along with their story, saying, yes, we are here for training purposes. We're apprentices, so to speak. But then they changed their story after speaking with human rights activists, allegedly. And some of them were saying they paid $10,000 or more in order to get on the boat and reach Europe. So it's sort of spiraled into a bit of a saga over the past week or so. Defend Europe has consistently denied, unsurprisingly, what they have been accused of. They maintain that they were just apprentice sailors, which is not... Yeah, it's a bit of an odd excuse, I think. But yes, I mean, it's part of the scary thing about this is, I believe one of the human rights activists say it's symbolic of a dangerous new confidence within this Defend Europe movement. They almost, the fact that they could do this and weren't afraid to do this is quite concerning. And of course, it's only raised, they were controversial from the beginning and it's only brought them back into the spotlight. Again, they're generally not very popular. The attention was mostly focused on them based on the fact that they were a youth group. Generally, you don't see youth groups patrolling the Mediterranean to send refugees back home and displaying anti-migration and anti-Islamic sentiments. So that's where they had attention initially, and then they were sort of slowly forgotten about, except for when, they refused docking rights in places like Egypt. So the story has really brought them back into the spotlight again, and we'll just have to wait and see what their actions are from here on, whether or not they continue patrolling the Mediterranean and even try something like that again. We'll have to see.
So what has been the fate of the Sri Lankans on board?
The story is a little bit fuzzy, I suppose you would say, but most outlets are saying that they were eventually deported. The Defend Europe camp, they claim that they spoke with the human rights activists, the 21 of them, and only 5 of them went on to say they wanted to claim refugee status, and then the rest of them wanted to go home or something like that. But of course, this is coming from Defend Europe, the group who was alleged to be smuggling them. So it's difficult to tell what the facts are in this case. But as far as we can tell, it's very likely that all 21 were deported back home.
Thanks so much for speaking with me, Inika.
No worries.
European correspondent Inika Mules from Deutsche Welle speaking there with breakfast producer Tom Mann.